Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you it is a living word. And so we pray this morning that you will open our hearts, that we might hear your voice. But not only hear, Lord, but that you may help us to respond to you in the way that we know that we should. Help us to be obedient, even as Jesus himself was obedient to your will and purpose. For we pray this in his name. Amen. Please be seated. And we are, of course, continuing our series on 1 Peter 4. So if you'd like to turn in your church Bible to page 253 of the New Testament, that would be helpful. I wonder if you've been on holiday and cringed because of someone else's behaviour. Yes, I'm getting lots of yeses. And even felt ashamed to be British. Sometimes happens, doesn't it? Maybe not just when we're on holiday. And our behaviour, whether we're on holiday or at home, at school, at work, at the golf club or wherever we have our leisure time, our behaviour is very important. People notice our behaviour and they comment on it either directly or indirectly. I remember very often taking school trips out somewhere, and thankfully we always got good comments, but it was nice because people notice how the children that you're with behave. And if they don't tell you about your behaviour, people might talk about your behaviour. That's why it's very important as a church together, when we're in groups, that our behaviour reflects who we are as Christians. So in today's passage, Peter is reminding us that our behaviour matters. He reminds us too that before we became a Christian, we might not have known better, but now Peter says you do. And Peter starts off with Jesus, always a good place to start, since Christ, and then he goes on. I'm not very keen on this translation, really, because it uses the word intention, and I think the NIV attitude is better. It says we should have the same attitude that Jesus had. What was that attitude? Well, we remember the chapter in Philippians. It was one of humility. Jesus was always humble before God. And Dave Coleman, was it last week, gave us a good definition of that. Not to think less of yourself, and we shouldn't because we are children of God, but to think of yourself less. I think that's quite good for humility. Not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. And in fact, Jesus said, didn't he, love God first and love your neighbour. And then self comes after that. So Peter then tells us that we are to live our Christian life. How are we to do it? With the attitude of Jesus. But we are to live by the will of God in verse 2. By the will of God. And of course, this is what Jesus taught us as well, didn't he? We pray the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. So how do we do that? Well, here in this passage, Peter gives us a number of pointers. And I'm going to pick out four of them. Pray. Prayer. This is God's plan, that we communicate with our God. It's a relationship that we have as Christians with God. And it's great because we can do this 24/7. We can chat with God wherever we are, whatever time of day or night. But notice in verse 7, he also says and talks of discipline and self-control with regard to prayer. Well, why does he do that? Well, because there should also be some structure to our prayer life. I, for one, yes, I do pray throughout the day when I am talking to God. But we should have times when we have some structure to our prayers. And in fact, that's what the Lord's Prayer does. It gives us a structure to pray. the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we say, don't we, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. We remember who we are coming to as we say that. And as we take time to pray, we can take time to think upon who God is and how great he is. And we pray, don't we, give us this day our daily bread, showing our reliance upon God, our God who is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Everything that we have, family, friends, material things, all come from God himself. And forgiveness and so on. I'm not going to go all the way through the Lord's Prayer today. But it's good to use the Lord's Prayer sometimes as a structure to put in our own prayers. To say, take a stanza at a time. Rob White, who some of you will know because he used to be in Poynton, didn't he, has recently published a book, Teach Us to Pray, on the Lord's Prayer. It's definitely worth a look at, by Rob White. So why Peter is saying discipline and self-control is needed for our prayer? Well, because it doesn't come easily. Yeah, we're probably very good at just taking time to say this, that or other to God. But actually we need to make an effort, our time and intention to do what God wants us to do, to take time to be with him. The overused phrase, but I think it's a good one, of quality time with God. Do we have quality time with him? Or do we rush into his presence and out again? When do you pray? When do you take time to really pray each day? Maybe your best time's morning. Maybe it's at night. Or maybe it's at lunchtime when you just sit and have a sandwich by yourself. But we need to decide when we're going to pray. And yes, sometimes it will go out of the window, but if we don't have any structure, it won't happen. And then Peter goes on to say, love one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 8. Love covers a multitude of sins. You see, love and forgiveness go together. And when we truly love, with God's help, we can forgive too. And so often, we can carry bitterness around in our hearts. And that in the end doesn't do anybody any good. Either the person that you're not forgiving or yourself. Jesus said, by your love you will be known as my people. Is that true for you? Is it true for me? I don't know where this quote is from, but I think it's a good one. Love the people God gave you because he will need them back one day. I found that very challenging. We're busy people. Life is busy. Do we truly love the people that God has given us? Because he'll need them back one day. But we need to show our love. People need to know they are loved more than anything else. And so many people today don't feel that they are loved. Maybe it's an elderly neighbor. Maybe it's a teenager that you know. Or a young grandchild. Everybody needs to know they are loved, to feel it and experience it. Do we bring love into people's lives day by day? It's a command. It's not just when we feel like it. Jesus said to us that this is my commandment, that you love one another. And then he goes on to say, be hospitable to all. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to have the same three friends or whatever for coffee, or to sit with the same people for coffee, even in the church hall. But how about inviting somebody new to have a coffee with you? Or a meal? Or someone to go somewhere with you? It might not come naturally, and I don't think it does to all of us, but with God's help, we can be truly become hospitable. I remember when we were at Bible college, and I'm going back many, many moons ago, not recently, and there was a Mrs. Taylor, she was called, and her husband, and we were students at Easley Bible College in Ware in Hertfordshire at the time. And every Sunday, it didn't matter how many of us went from the Bible college to church, we all went back to their house for Sunday lunch. And you know, there are a couple of people in our church too who do that. Every week they have people from church for Sunday lunch. That's very challenging, isn't it? It doesn't have to be a great big spread. It's just sharing food together. Are we known as a hospitable church? For years, my friend Roz, and they're coming to see us this week, they live in Edinburgh. They were missionaries in Thailand where we were. And Roz and I used to get away from, she had three children and I did, and we'd go away for a weekend. And we always went to church wherever, not always the Church of England, but wherever we were. And on lots and lots of occasions, we were invited to someone's house for lunch after church. And we didn't even know them. Are we a hospitable people? And then he goes on to say, whoever speaks, and we all speak, must do so, verse 11, as one speaking the very words of God. Wow. High expectations. James, doesn't he, in his letter, warns us about our tongue. It can create havoc like a fire. Is it possible to speak like Jesus spoke? Can you think of an occasion in the Bible where Jesus spoke? What did he say? How did he speak? Well, he was kindly, wasn't he, to the children? He was compassionate to the leper, to Zacchaeus, the outcast, to the centurion whose servant was sick. He said, I'll come. He comforted, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. He was reassuring to the disciples on the boat in the storm. But he also clarified people's understanding in his teaching. He was able to quote scripture, man shall not live by bread alone. And the Bible tells us that we need to be ready to give an account. Can we help other people's understanding? Are our words always kind and helpful? If we ask ourselves that, we won't go far wrong. Are our words kind and are they helpful? Have you thought about your testimony? I've done some interviews recently, and one of my questions was, tell me about your journey of faith. If I asked you, could you give me an answer? We need to have an answer ready to talk with those who don't know Jesus for themselves. And yes, at times Jesus warned too, and sometimes we need to warn people when they're going the wrong way and challenge them. Jesus said, if you have ears, listen. In other words, think about the word of God. And so all these behaviors are all so that in verse 10, we can be a channel of grace to others. And the whole reason that we are to live in the will of God is told us in that last verse 11, so that we can glorify God, that we can give him praise and honor, so that God is not embarrassed by your behavior or my behavior. That's a good question to ask ourselves. What I do, would it embarrass Jesus if he was stood here in person with me now? And we're told that we are to glorify God in all things. So these behaviors, prayer, love and forgiveness, hospitality, inclusiveness, words of kindness and helpfulness, they will all enable us with God's help to be the people God wants us to be. And so in all things, at work, at home, at leisure, we can glorify God and shine in a way that draws others to Him. A big challenge, isn't it, to myself and to you? Is my behaviour like this? When people see me, are they drawn to ask, what is the difference? Because that will bring glory to God, and it will help to extend His kingdom, which we know is God's will. Amen.